St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord in Senla and in Miss Lou.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters of Central Louisiana. It's going to be all right for you. Got Pastor Dunkley of the Mount Olive Baptist Church, 4711 England Drive, Alexandria, Louisiana. Call your friend, call your neighbors, and tell them it's going to be all right because Pastor Dunkley's on the airway.
Your theme and to your history. Your story. This is your story. Amen. Now, what is somewhat disturbing to me today is there is a generation of black churchgoers who have no appreciation for yesterday. And don't want to hear about it. But this church came from somewhere. She did have a start and a beginning. And there was a generation of people. Listen, the first piece I want to lift here, who were loyal to God. Their commitment was marked by their loyalty. They were loyal Christians. They were determined to see that a church would be planted in this locale. That people living in the community will have access to the house of God. They were loyal. Devoted, would use that word. And not only that, but no sacrifice was too great. They were not willing to make to see that the church had what it needed to make an impact. People took things out of their house. Yeah, they did. And that's when there was a whole lot of work and very little money. Yeah. And we're back to that again. Yeah. A lot of work, but your personal income has not, risen that much. But one of the things we can say about the element of faithfulness is the loyalty of the steward. In Mount Olive, it is a stewardship. It's a stewardship. And I guess some of you are thinking that if you don't do it, then we might as well close shop. Well, ask the folk who passed through here in 132 years, they're gone on. But is Mount Olive still here? She's still here. And you know what makes me confident in God and have confidence in the church? Is that loyalty that I see? That I am a part of something that got a history. A history. we're not trying to be Christians. And we're not testing to see whether or not the church will work. And whether or not it will be around. This church has survived. And she has outlived presidents, senators, governors, mayors and sheriffs and superintendents of education. Kings and kingdoms have come and gone. Political platforms have risen and have fallen. The economy has fluctuated. But the church is still here. Amen. And you know why she's still here? Because Jesus guaranteed her eternality. Upon this rock, I will build my church. Amen. And the gates of Hades will not be able to resist the forward advance and march of the church. Will not be able to do it. She's, you've seen that movie, Denzel Washington, Unstoppable, that runaway train. Well, we're not on a runaway train. Amen. Some people might think they are, but this is not a runaway train. Now, your relationship might be. You know, these booze that's in and out of our lives, runaway situations. But this is not a runaway organization. This is not a mushroom organization. You know what a mushroom does? It pops up overnight, but it cannot stand much sun. But the church is here to stay. She's here to stay. I might not be around, but the church is here to stay. And I want you to go back and tell your critics she's here to stay. Yeah. Amen. Those who have abandoned ship, you let them know. This one is unsinkable. She survived the storm. She's been hit by tsunamis and cyclones and hurricanes. Wind storms and dust storms. Amen. But she's here to stay. And you know what? I'm glad to be a part of something that has a history. And not only that, it's one thing to be in a storm, it's another one to survive it. Yes. To survive the storm. She has survived the storm. Young people, you're part of an organization that just won't go away. It is not going anywhere. It's not going to die. And listen, and no quick foot pallbearer is going to carry the church out. And nobody is going to attend the funeral of the church or have a repast and watch the church go down the drain. She's here to stay. And it's all due to the faithfulness of our God and what God requires of us as a response to his faithfulness, that we be faithful. And people of loyalty. Yes. You know the church needs some loyal members. Yes. Black folk are now saying, you know, we are switching, you know, folk are from one side of this river to the other one. They don't know where they want to be. Whose church you want to sit in on Sunday morning? Whoever got the latest word or the latest twist or whatever dog and pony show they rushing to see and watch and all that sort of thing. We need some people who are going to be loyal. Loyal folk. In other words, you can count on them. You can count on them. They're going to be there. Not only that, but they're going to make sure the church has access to their resources. Not just their money, but their time, their gifts, their talents, their testimonies, and their strengths. A loyal people, a people who are going to stay the course, a people who are going to stay on the journey, a people who will be faithful to the end. Just faithful people. And it has gotten so in our churches that you can count only a few. You know, some of us, we're in and out and off and on. But we need some people who are loyal to the church. And listen, and in order to be loyal, you got to feel good about your church. You got to feel good about it. This is my church. This is my church family. These are the people I worship with on Sunday morning. I go to school with a total different group of people. I go to work with a total different group of people. Huh? But this is my family, and I'm proud to be a member of Mount Olive. We might not have the numbers. Amen. We might not have the edifice. We might not have the bus. We might not have the big budget. We might not have the expansive buildings. We might not be mega, but we are mighty. We are mighty in the Lord. We need some people that are faithful to their churches. That loyalty is what is needed. It is required of stewards that we be found faithful. I don't want to make the sermon too long. You know, it's past 12 and look, and some of you done got pretty comfortable in the pew. You done started doing that on me. Wake up in here. We're going to be out of here shortly. And I know once that stomach starts talking, that dialogue that goes on in there between those intestines, it's kind of hard to hear anything else. But just hold on now. Amen. Just tell them, man shall not live. I want you to tell your stomach that man shall not live by bread alone. We need to live on, we need to eat some of this other bread this morning. Praise the Lord. But loyal, a loyal people. They are loyal to God. Jesus is my Savior. You're loyal to him. Mount Olive needs me. I'm loyal to my church. I know Garden of Glory is down there, but I'm loyal to Mount Olive. I know about Mount Zion and Mount this and St. John and Zion Hill and et cetera, but I'm loyal to my church. This is my church. I know y'all got some exciting things going on at your church, but I want you to know the same sun that is falling on your. Lord. Yeah, we need to lift another word. Not only the steward is to be loyal to the master, to the mission, but we got to be careful and faithful, listen, faithful in handling the legacy. Oh, a bucket of fresh water was passed down to me and you called the gospel. Amen. And we must be faithful in our handling of that bucket of water. Is it all right to say bucket? Shall I say pail or bowl? You know, maybe there's a generation, you don't know anything about a bucket other than the movie, The Bucket List. I'm not talking about The Bucket List. I'm talking about a pail of water. That's been, they know what a bucket is? Oh, all right, well, thank you. Mount Olive, you updated then. Some congregations I preached it in and said, bucket? They said, what is that, a bucket? One person went home and looked it up and said, oh, he was talking about a pail. But loyal, I want my service to be marked by loyalty. I want my commitment to be underscored by loyalty. And then also, I want to be found faithful in handling the legacy. Because there's a legacy that has been passed down to the church. Yes, it is. It's found there in the latter part of Matthew. Go ye therefore and to disciple all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always. That's the legacy. It has been passed down to us. And here is the guarantee that we can handle the legacy. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit is come upon you. Mount Olive, looking now back at 132 years, have you been faithful with the legacy? Oh, much has been given to us. But there is a legacy, and I want to put it in very street terms. I want to put it right there in your face. I want you to understand it. The only proof that we have that Jesus came to this planet, he passed through here. The manger in Bethlehem is gone. He left no garments, no sandals. He wrote no books. He did not leave a master plan. The cross is gone. The sepulcher or the grave is empty. What evidence we have that he passed through here? The only evidence we have he passed through here, he left behind some changed lives. He passed his way. And when he passed his way, blind men saw, lame men walked, deaf men heard, crippled walked. And the dead was disentombed. The hungry were fed. The miserable found mercy. The only evidence that you have that you believe in God is change your life. That's the legacy. Have we been faithful with the legacy? To this extent, that you are so determined to see that the next generation have some Christians in it. How faithful are you to Sunday school? How faithful are you to prayer and Bible study? What are you doing to make sure that the next generation will have some Christians in it? I know they're going to have some athletes and movie stars and business people and scientists and lawyers and doctors and astronauts, but will it have some Christians? You got to get past going to church just for yourself. This thing is bigger than that. I go sometime for my neighbor because my neighbor doesn't go to church. I have to go for them to let them know it's important to get up. Man said to me, he said, listen, I ran the cafe for 7 years. And I took off only 4 days in 7 years. So let me go to church for you. See how good God's been to you? You ran that cafe seven years, 7 days a week, and you never got sick. Sick enough to stay home. You never took a break. You never took a vacation. But every morning you got up, there was strength and there was health and there was blessings just for the taking. It ain't about you. It's bigger than you. You got to learn to live for the other fellow now. I not only pray for myself, I got to pray for my neighbor. Yeah, like Job did for his children, just in case. Oh, glory. I wish I could get you on board. The legacy. But I tell you, what's disturbing to me today, when I look at the black church and what she's doing now, and one of the reasons we are doing some of in and everything and letting some of in and everything pass as authentic worship is because we have ceased to be a thinking people. We're running too many mindless activities where we haven't put any thought or plan or prayer into them, and anything passes now. Any old song will do, regardless of content or message. Not so for a thinking people. Listen at a thinking person. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are right, think. Be you. Don't let your mind conform to the way of the world. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might be able to approve and test whether or not that thing is of God. Because everything that is spiritual does not originate with God. Don't forget, the devil is also a spirit being. And he loves worship. Look at the book of Job. The devil goes to church. And guess what? And he walks in the company of angels. That's how bold he is. He'll bust up in the choir practice. He'll bust up in prayer meeting. He'll walk up into worship and distract you with all kind of foolishness. But we need some people that are spiritually discerned, who can say, where you coming from, Satan? I know you're in the house, but I'm here to worship Jesus. You tell him that a few times, he'll move on. Because he can't hang around, not that kind of concentration. But being faithful with the legacy. Because one day the church is going to have to give an account. The church is going to have to report. The church is going to have to stand on the carpet. The church is going to have to answer for why she exists. And she exists to give God glory. She exists to tell the story. She exists to greet the world with the goodness of God. And finally, in being faithful, found faithful now, they found faithful in loyalty and in the legacy, and then found faithful in our love. I'm going to my seat now. I think I've said enough to you already. And some of you might be saying, I'm wondering when he's going to sit down. Because I'm hungry now. Well, I'm going to let you go so you can get to the table there. Amen. But before you go, I want to put one other item from the menu on your plate. And I need to talk about being faithful in your love for God. But first of all, I need to ask you, do you love him? Now, I know most of you will say yes. But do you love him in the public?
Yes.
You know, so many of us are closet Christians. We tell the Lord how much we love him in the closet. Oh, but when it comes to the public and before our friends and our comrades, huh? In our sororities and fraternities, and when we're around nose-lifted folk, and when we're around the sophisticated, and when we're walking with pomp and circumstance, we kind of shy off. Some of you, I know you love him, but you're bashful lovers. But do you love him openly?
Yeah.
And are you faithful in your love? You don't wait until the conditions are right, or the circumstances are okay, or whether or not the situation is pleasing, but you're faithful in your love. You loved him this morning, but between this morning and noon, the weather has changed. Do you still love him? And I need to ask you the same question he asked Peter. Do you love me more than these? Amen. Faithful in your love for God. Loved him when things were going well. Loved him when you had your good health and you had a good job and you had a little savings. But now life has come in and she's doing subtraction now and taking away things from you. Do you still love him? You loved him as long as mama was alive, or papa was doing okay. But death came by and they had to ride out of here. Do you still love him? Now don't fool me, Mount Olive. Am I speaking to any lovers of God right now? Can you stand and say, I love the Lord? He heard my cry. Yeah, he pitied my every groan. I love him this evening. I love him because he first loved me. I love him because he brought me from a long ways. I love him because he's guided my life. I love him, yeah, yeah. And I want everybody to know it. Are you faithful in your love? Or has your love cooled off? Has your passion subsided? Is your love just lukewarm?
This is Pastor Dunkley. I hope our message has been a blessing to your heart. I'd like to give you the calendar of events on the Mount Olive Baptist Church. Sunday school, 9:30 a.m. Worship service, 11 o'clock. Lord's Supper observed every second Sunday at 11 o'clock. Midweek service on Wednesday night at 6 p.m. If you would like a copy of the tape you have just heard, you can reach us at 1410 Cathy Street, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71303, or phone me at area code 31.